Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. In Radio Land, we call this split screen. Michael in Harrisburg, but Jason joining us live in studio this week. To what do we owe this good fortune, sir?
Well, you know, I've been speaking this week to the seniors' luncheon here at FLN, and it's good to be on site. What a great opportunity.
You are so much better looking in person. I'm so surprised to see that. But let's begin in Harrisburg. Michael, the president didn't give the only big speech this week. Governor Wolf taking the wraps off, I think it was a $36 billion budget address. What was the big headline from that speech?
Well, it was delivered as the State of the Union was. It was delivered on Groundhog Day, and it was just a sort of a repeat of what he said in many of his previous speeches. But specifically, a couple of things to note. One is he talked very strongly about gun control. How that fits into a budget speech, I'm not quite sure. But residents of Pennsylvania who are concerned about Second Amendment rights need only to look at the state of Virginia and what's going on there related to gun control and attacks on the Second Amendment to understand the challenges that would come if Wolf gets a Democrat legislature in this next election.
Yeah. We'll come back to the speech and talk about how it made national news in a minute, Michael. But Jason, let's talk about bail reform. That is one of the biggest stories in New York right now. There was a huge rally this week for those who want no changes to the law. Assembly Speaker Hastie said that those who are fearful of this are guilty of sensationalizing this story. Is that true, you think?
No, I think the Speaker Hastie is actually speaking to his political base when he says that, but the reality is just not there. There was a witness in a trial for an MS-13 gang member that essentially was killed because his name was given to those who he's accusing of crimes. And that's what we're afraid of is going to happen here, is there's going to be people who are going to have their personal identities released, given to alleged criminals, but some are guilty, let's admit it, and that's going to leave victims in a very vulnerable position.
Michael, Pennsylvania figured prominently at the State of the Union address in Washington. We've all heard the Philadelphia story, this young girl who was denied a scholarship because of a law in the state that prevented these tax credits, but she ultimately did get the scholarship from the president, this Opportunity Zone scholarship. Is the governor doubling down here on the attacking school choice in light of this now becoming a national issue, and how much of a political risk does he take in doing that?
Well, increasingly, Governor Wolf has become an enemy of school choice, especially most recently, just even in his budget address and at other times, attacking charter schools. But what President Trump specifically mentioned in the State of the Union address was his veto of legislation to increase funding for the Educational Improvement Scholarship Program, the school choice program that Pennsylvania is one of the leading states in the nation with. He vetoed expansion. You know, that story of the woman that was there at the State of the Union and her daughter getting the grant, but, you know, being denied previously, is repeated about 50,000 times with people who have applied for such grants to send their children to a school of their choice where their child can flourish, and being denied because the funding is not there. And Wolf is directly responsible for not having that funding available to more Pennsylvania families.
All right. A couple of state lawmakers in New York, Jason, are on a listening tour. Seems like every week we talk about listening tours, but they want to know why the Empire State is becoming the empty state. No state losing more of its population than New York. What are they going to find out on this listening tour?
Well, you know, these legislators are getting ridiculed for this listening tour on why people are leaving the state. People think it's obvious, but the reality is I think they're trying just to get the data to show the taxes and regulations are killing our state. There's a report that came out from the Empire Center that just shows that we are the second highest rate of health insurance here in this state. It's going up by $1,000 over other states, and yeah. So people just can't compete with what other states are having.
So it's not just the weather.
It is not just the weather.
Although they're long winters in New York for sure. Hey, Mike, Mike Pence was at an event that you attended this week outside Harrisburg, Michael. By all accounts, this is one of a half dozen states that will decide the election in November. There's going to be so much money, so much advertising, so many candidates. It's going to make your head spin from now to November. The note that Trump is sounding right now, is it the right one to stay competitive, or do you think that this whole impeachment saga has weakened him too much in Pennsylvania?
Well, number one, based on the reception that I saw with Vice President Pence and Secretary DeVos talking about school choice, just the morning right after the State of the Union address was wonderful right there in Philadelphia. And then he traveled to other parts of the state and got a wonderful reception there. And I think what people are seeing in the polls are showing, not only here in Pennsylvania, but around the country, that the impeachment was if the Democrats were trying to weaken President Trump, the opposite took place. And then sounding the issue on school choice, as the vice president did, as President Trump did, as well as talking about the sanctity of life in that State of the Union address, are ones that really do resonate with much of the base in Pennsylvania, which is still considered a pro-life state.
Let me ask you, Jason, since it's in the news, the acquittal back on Wednesday, has that blown new life in the sails of Republican candidates at the federal, state, local level, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I think temporarily there's going to be this bump. I mean, the thought that President Trump will be at his highest point at 49% based on that poll that came out this week in the midst of the impeachment trial coming up on an acquittal, that's huge. And I will say that candidates that were watching and polling across the country, the Republican candidates are showing themselves in a better position after impeachment than before. So it's been fascinating to watch the collapse of Pelosi and those on the left.
Let's stay in Albany. Full-blown marijuana legalization. The governor made a big deal about it in his budget. There are some that say it's not going to happen this year. What do you think?
Well, we're hopeful that it will not happen this year. It's going to take a lot of hard work on our part and the parts of others. But we heard the same thing last year, that it was inevitable. It's going to happen. And then it didn't. And ultimately, that's what we're working towards this year as well. Just because someone tells you it's inevitable does not mean that it is. And so if we're diligent, if we work at it, we're hoping we can have success in keeping recreational weed out of our state.
Michael, how about you? Did the governor mention at all recreational marijuana as a revenue raiser in his budget speech this week?
He did not, likely because he sees the handwriting on the wall for this particular budget season, that it's not likely to advance in our General Assembly. But we're in the same sort of position as what Jason just described in New York. We're getting ready to fight and need lots of people to get engaged in it because the governor is on record as wanting to see that happen in our states.
And nothing is so sad as suicide to me, guys. It hits me in a personal way. My son's best friend at the age of 12 committed suicide, and opponents of assisted suicide were in the state capitol this week, Jason, making a push to keep that from becoming law this year. How confident are you that they will be successful?
Well, I think this year we're going to have some success against assisted suicide. I was pleased to be up there with dozens of doctors that came up this week in opposition to assisted suicide. And one of the points they kept talking about was the need to deal with real improvements in pain care and palliative care. There's things that can be done, but our state is another area where it's falling further and further behind is in palliative care. Let's, kill the pain, not the patient.
Yeah. Finally, guys, we want to give an opportunity for both of you to brag on a couple of events that are coming up. We had the National March for Life in January, Michael, but you're going to take that to the state level this spring. Why do you feel this is so important to host this never-before-done rally there in May on the sanctity of human life?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. Number one, we need to invigorate the pro-life movement in Pennsylvania and let Pennsylvania's pro-life voice be heard by our legislature and our Capitol here in Harrisburg on May 18th. And because we have such a fervent pro-abortion governor who's even put money again for groups like Planned Parenthood in this state budget, we need him to hear that voice as well and to stir up grassroots activity that will last well into the future.
We'll be praying for a great outcome for there. So many rallies. This is the time of year, Jason. They had the bail reform. They had the assisted suicide. But none are more important than the one coming up next month, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, Legislative Day 2020. Why should people make a point of being there this year?
Well, we see so many attacks on parental rights in particular this year, whether it's the HPV vaccines or mandatory public sex ed and other issues. Parental rights are going to be huge at the Capitol. And so we're bringing in Mike Ferris from Alliance Defending Freedom. We're bringing in David Barton from Wall Builders. And I trust many folks will come out and they'll get engaged on parental rights in our state capitol.
All right. Mark your calendar for that, guys. And that is the end of this week's show. But if you've got questions about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, Michael, where can they find you?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, where can they find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.